I'm going to call back to order the annual town meeting, noting that we have a quorum. I'd like to reconvene now. I'm sorry. We're changing cards. Okay, put your pink card away. Now we're going to use the yellow ones. And we're on Article 19, Town and School Security and Access Controls. Motion by Mr. Kelly.
Jim,
excuse me, can you pull that just a little closer to you? There you go.
Move to raise and appropriate the sum.
Point it right at your chin. It's on. Keep talking. Just, I hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Move to raise and appropriate the sum of $195,000 to be expended under the direction of the facilities director for the purpose of constructing, reconstructing, or making extraordinary repairs to the Sudbury Town buildings for the purpose of building safety, security, and access controls, including the payment of all costs incidental or related thereto. Said appropriation to be contingent upon the approval of a Proposition 2.5 capital expenditure exclusion in accordance with General Law Chapter 59, Section 21C, I and 1/2.
Does that receive a second? It does. Chief Nix for presentation. Oh, I'm sorry? Is it? Are you going to do the presentation?
I'm going to take the opportunity.
It's a tandem.
Introduce Chief Nix.
All right, very good.
And explain briefly the purpose of this article. It is to add some measures of security to make our buildings more safe in Sudbury. We presented this article a year ago, and we're here for a so-called phase two. This year, there are also going to be some improvements made at our town buildings. And I think it's a great, you're hearing a lot more, I think, where we're talking about town and school buildings in the same articles. And it makes a lot of sense, and that actually is part of my job. I work for both the town and the schools. So, and I also mentioned last night, if you weren't here, there are a lot of articles that say submitted by the facilities director, and that is true. However, this article, again, like many others, is a real effort, a real collaboration of many people, and most importantly is Chief Scott Nix for everything that he has done for this town and will continue to do, and I really am pleased to work closely with him and support this measure. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Scott Nix, Chief of Police, and again, like last night, Jim Kelly's cologne. So we're here again. As we spoke last year, we first presented this. We didn't want to come with just one large sum. We want to be, you know, cognizant of taxes and expenses and so forth. But as those of you that have been in meetings with me before, I'm very passionate about safety. Last year, we really concentrated on the schools. And, you know, Jim Kelly was very kind to provide his kindergarten graduation picture for this. But, you know, so the safety of our kids, we're all passionate about that. And we're going to continue with that passion and trying to watch out for the safety of our kids as well as the parents and staff in those schools. But we're also going to add some of the town buildings, which also include kids' participation, but also residents' participation, particularly in meetings. Meetings like I conduct as such when you have audience as, you know, so, but we want to protect those buildings like the Flynn Building, the library, which houses both meetings as well as students. So, you know, that again, that's safety. Back to, you know, residents, our youth, our staff, everybody. But we're also, we talked about protecting our infrastructure. You know, unfortunately, this is a result of some graffiti that has been painted so diligently on the Curtis Middle School. We now have exterior cameras there, which we'll kind of go into when we can tie into things. But those, this is part of the phase one that we had gone through. It's nearing completion. It involves access control and exterior video cameras on every one of the K-8 schools. Access control, some people might ask what that is. It's really our little credit card that we can wear around that every one of my officers get issued. and stuff. We can also issue this versus keys. So had before this was in place and we needed to get into the schools very quickly, we went through a ring of like 25 keys. Hold on, I'll be right with you. Right there. Now we can just swipe it. But with our beautiful new station, which we're very much appreciative for, I still walk in thinking they're going to take it away, but we're still moving forward. Dispatch can actually operate these as we roll out and train more. So it's a quicker access into the building. We can track. And if one of these cards is lost, we just deactivate the card. We don't have to rekey everything and therefore circumvent our security procedures. Video cameras is another thing that we've done in phase one, the exterior. We don't sit there and monitor the schools just to see what's going on, but you can kind of see this is our dispatch center. Okay, and you can see the various monitors and things like that. We can actually pull up the library, the Flynn building, every one of the exterior school cameras and see what's going on if we do indeed get a call there. So we're tying in with that new technology. This is a little bit closer picture of the noise school. So again, we can see what's going on. If we get an alarm, if we have something that's going on, you know, around the exterior, it's a very proactive and reactive investigatory tool because it is being recorded. So the IT department is very involved in this. It takes a lot of work. We appreciate the work of Mark Thompson, Brian Powell, as well as the technology department of the school. We want to keep moving forward, and that's the reason for this article, to enhance not only the schools but the town buildings as well. So you see the library here. It's an area that we love Esme's energy and what she provides for our kids for the studies and things like that, but it is a public building. We don't necessarily have always that stellar clientele that go in there, so we want to make sure that we can monitor appropriately. They have 18-year-old cameras inside. We want to replace some of those with this funding. We're going to be adding extra access control to schools. We didn't add our proposal was 3 per school originally, but as we started vetting into it, we learned that for access and the operational efficiency, we had to add some. But also from our perspective of tactical entry, we want to make sure that we can get into different doors that we need to in a very efficient manner, so we don't have to necessarily go on one end of the school to get to the other end, okay? But we're adding those access control points, but we're not adding them to every single door. As you see here, we have the door contacts. Those will let us know if a door is ajar, if your security is breached. You don't necessarily need access control, everyone, but you would want to know if a door was open and somebody could walk right into a school or somebody had propped something open. So it's just stuff that we're going to. And again, I mentioned the camera updates, both in memory, both in upgrading the 18-year-old cameras, and also assessing to see what areas we might have missed in the schools. Potentially adding some exterior cameras to the Flynn building, which again is very much used for meetings, as well as exterior cameras to the library. So again, it's a multi-phase approach, so we don't hit it all at once. Obviously, there's a lot of money articles this year, and there will continue to be, but we appreciate your support. We understand if you know, funds are tight in the house, that we ask that you consider this, but we also understand your respect if you choose not to. But again, it's really about the safety of everybody and moving forward. So, any questions?
Thanks, Chief. Finance Committee report.
Finance Committee supports this article.
Board of Selectmen.
Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Capital Improvement Advisory Committee.
CIAT supports this article.
Okay. Anybody wish to be heard on this article? Questions or comments for the Chief? Sir, all the way in the back.
Greg Hamill, 16 Pine Street. I'm thoroughly in favor of this. I wanted to know if the FinCom would be able to provide us with the additional taxes subject to Articles 14 through 25, say a number per 100,000 valuation.
Member of the FinCom want to address that?
Are you asking for the total?
Susan, speak up, please.
Are you asking for the total?
Sir, are you asking for the total? He is.
So for the all of the articles, the total per 100,000 assessed valuation is $53.50. That's per 100,000. For the average home value, which is $634,923, the estimated increase in the average home tax would be $337.43.
Does that answer your question, sir? Okay, thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard on Article 19? Gentleman right here.
Thank you. Dan Carney, Stonebrook Road. I asked a similar question last night, and upon thinking about it overnight, I don't think I got a clear answer. So I'll ask it in terms of this question. I don't think anybody's going to argue that public safety is one of the most important things in this town. I just don't understand the thought process on why we have a tax override for a public safety issue. Why isn't that up higher on the chain as far as things that are budgeted for? I would think that this would be something we've covered in a budget, and then kind of the nice-to-haves in town would be the things that we'd ask for an override on.
So Chuck addressed that last night. Do you want to try it again? Chairman Woodard. I'm sorry, Chuck Woodard from the Board of Selectmen.
I'm trying to think. I remember the question, and I remember the answer. I'm trying to think of another way to answer it that satisfies the question. We have an operating budget for the town, which is basically salaries, utilities, school supplies, gasoline, that sort of stuff. We do not have, other than a small amount, we do not have a budget for capital items. So each year we basically, if each year we come to you and to the residents in town and ask for money to approve various capital items that the capital committee has recommended and that the rest of us are supporting. And clearly, if you talk to the capital committee, they'll tell you as they look at all the various items that have been put forward, public safety is right up at the top. So anything with a public safety impact that's important, that's the first thing they'll look at, and typically that's going to be one of the things they'll push. But the broader question is, should we kind of go from this, I can't think of the word, but kind of each year we have a list of things we need, and should we not come to you and say, look, we think over the next 5 to 7 years, we're going to need to spend $2 to $2.5 million a year to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And we're all kind of thinking about this as we consider questions like yours. Maybe that's where we should be going, and maybe that's the next step in the town's process of recovering from 10 years of spending no money on capital. So if you look at it from the standpoint of those of us that are trying to get the money approved in order to deal with these capital needs, we're all, quite frankly, fairly gun-shy about asking for one dime more than we think is necessary to get the job done. So we're kind of inching our way toward probably the kind of thing you're talking about. But for the time being, we're trying to come to you with as little as possible, minimize the tax impact as little as we can, and still get the stuff done. So I don't know, I have a feeling I didn't quite answer your question again, but I'll try one more time if that's not enough. Am I getting better?
Ask me
again tomorrow night. We'll try the third time I get it.
Thank you, Mr. Carty. Okay, let's go up top. Woman here, can you stand up, please? Can we get her a mic? Wait, just a minute. Can we get a mic to her, please?
My name is Susanna Chenoy. I'm from 482 Conquer Road. I'd like to bring this to a vote. Motion to a vote, please.
Okay. There's been a motion to call the question. Does that receive a second? It does. Before I get a sense of this, is there anybody else that has new information that they would like to offer on this article? Where? Okay. All right, I have two people that want to hear, that have new information to offer. We're going to hear from them, and then we're going to call the question. Okay, first right here, this gentleman in the red.
Is this on?
Yes. It's on.
So I think...
name and address, please, sir.
Joe Martino, 109 Maynard Farm. I think the, and I had a question along the same line last night as well. I think what we do every year is we set up for dealing with the capital as either an override or an exclusion in the same manner by first fully funding an operating budget at generally at the 2.5% increase, which then forces any capital consideration to be either an override or a debt exclusion. Last year, as Mr. Woodard pointed out, we had a little bit of the luxury of having some free cash, but that's an exception. So this is set up year after year by first asking the departments to come in at 2.5% over their last year's budget, and now there's nothing left for what I think is equally important, capital items. Okay, I think both of those two budgets have to be dealt with together at the same time. Not first you do the operating budget, 2.5% increase, this year 2.8, and then you try to get much needed items, equally important items, to get people to vote for them and only have the mechanism of being an override.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm going to recognize this gentleman up here. Oh, sir, here.
Dan Martin, Brookdale Road. It says in the warrant that there is no guarantee that buildings will be free of violence. It seems that we're asked to spend $195,000 here basically to prevent graffiti on some schools. It doesn't seem like it's a very good use of money. And in the warrant, it says a patrol officer would be a quarter of that price per year. I was just wondering, Chief Nix, whether you thought if you had $195,000 given to you right now from the town, would this be how you would allocate it?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I've been through a homicide at LS here where I ran the investigation. Some of my other officers that are here were here as well. I think that was meant to say never. We're trying to do things. There's other items that we would like to do, like target hardening. I'd like to make dual doors at the schools locked so you have double entries. There's always things in my mind that I think of at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I try to keep my pad to write it down. So will I come back to you with more ideas? Absolutely. But what I try to do is work with Jim Kelly, work with everybody collaboratively, so we're not coming back, coming in at $1 million or $2 million to do it. But this is important. It is one of the initiatives that the town manager knows that we would like to add an officer, but I think that this is a good step forward for our safety.
Okay, a motion to call the question has been made and seconded. That requires a two-thirds majority to pass. All those in favor of calling the question, please raise your cards. I saw a pink one. Put that down. All right. Can you do that one more time, please? All those in favor of calling the question? All those opposed? Okay, the question's been called. That motion passes by well more than a majority. The quantum of vote required on the main motion is a majority. All those in favor of the motion, I'm sorry? Can you get a mic, Mr. Fox, please? This isn't going to be good.
I could have Myron Fox, Knobscot Road, I could have sworn I heard you say it passed by more than two-thirds.
If I didn't, I should have. Thank you for making that observation. As Mr. DePompei tells me all the time, you can always do better. So thank you. I appreciate that. If I neglected to properly call that vote, let the record reflect that the motion to call the question passed by well more than two-thirds. We're on to a vote. We're in the middle of a vote, I guess, on the main motion under Article 19. Can I just do that one more time? All those in favor of the main motion under Article 19, please raise your cards. All those opposed, that motion passes nearly unanimously and by well more than the required majority. Article 20. security system upgrade, Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School. I'm not sure who's making a motion under this article. Is it you, Superintendent Wong? Wait a minute. Are you a resident? Okay, we need a resident to make the motion. Is there a LS school committee person that's a resident? That's okay. Please.
Elena Kleifkis, chair of the Lincoln Sudbury School Committee, and I move.
You can move by reading the view graph right in front of you.
Oh, there we go. I need my glasses. Move to raise and appropriate the sum of $122,320 to be expended under the direction of the Lincoln Sudbury School Committee for the purpose of constructing, reconstructing, or making extraordinary repairs to the Lincoln Sudbury Regional District for the purpose of building and personal safety and security. Said appropriation to be contingent upon the approval of a Proposition 2.5 capital expenditure exclusion in accordance with GLC 59-21C.
Thank you. Does that receive a second? It does. Ms. Wong, Superintendent Wong, are you going to make the presentation? Thank you.
Good evening. This school was opened in 2004 with 23 security cameras in place. And since 2004, three were added. The 23 cameras were targeted toward most of the exterior doors, and the three cameras that were added were for interior spaces for theft control by the wood lab, the metal lab, and outside the locker rooms. So this article proposed money to replace all 26 cameras, but also to add additional cameras. The recommended cameras are based on the 10-year plus experience of living in the building, and so would improve security in there for targeted areas. The additional cameras would cover additional exterior doors, the maintenance entry, outside the fitness center, and outside the gymnasium. So if these were all added, all exterior doors would then have a camera either from inside or outside that would allow us to monitor that access or egress in the building. The additional cameras on the roof will give us a 360 view of the campus. Right now we have two cameras on the roof, but they are fixed angles and they only show where they're pointed. So this would increase the security monitoring on the campus. Again, a 360-degree view from the roof. We would also add two cameras on the exterior of the building to allow us oversight of the parking area under the solar array. There would also be additional interior cameras. They would be specifically targeted instrument storage and also under three particular stairwells. And we are also asking for a camera to be able to show access to the upper area to the auditorium and the lower part of the auditorium. And this is because this is the most highly utilized space by the public. And we feel that it would help to have that additional monitoring. So in total, it would go from 26 cameras to 46. Again, replacing the 26 that are already here. And then another 20 for those specific areas that I identified.
All set? Thank you, Superintendent Wong. Finance Committee for a report. Mr. Barker?
The Finance Committee unanimously supports Article 20.
Board of Selectmen?
Could I just add one thing?
Sorry, sure.
So the cost for $100,000 for this item is $2.81. And on an average home value, it's $17.87.
Thanks. Board of Selectmen?
The Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Capital Improvement Advisory Committee, Mr. Travers.
CIAC supports this article.
Discussion. Who wishes to be heard on the motion under Article 20? Anyone wish to be heard? I see no one. I'm sorry. Right here.
Hi, Stace Casaria, 524 Concord Road. I'm just curious, who's monitoring all 46 or 50 cameras? Who's watching the feeds?
We actually only watch as needed, so there isn't a person assigned to monitor the cameras. Our current cameras have a 7-day memory, and so these would be a 30-day memory.
Does that answer your question, sir?
Right, it answers my question, but I'm just not sure what we're doing with the information that we're gathering if nobody's there to monitor it.
So when it's brought to our attention, a lot of times it's with theft, or there might be an incident related to personal safety in the building, and so we'll go back and we'll monitor the feed. And so it will help us to go from 7 days to 30 days, because sometimes people think they've misplaced things and they think they'll find it, and it's past the 7-day loop. And so this will help us with that. But we'll go back and we'll be able to, it will help us identify who was in the area at what time if we have a theft.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else wish to be heard? Right here. Wait.
Dean Casey, 85 Poconoke Avenue. I just find myself a little bit confused at this. In Article 19, we appropriated $195,000 for safety and security, et cetera, for all of the public buildings in Sudbury, including all of the schools, not including Lincoln Sudbury. And now we have come to Lincoln Sudbury High School, and we're talking about spending, was it $145,000, including Lincoln? It just seems to me the proportion is way off, especially since the high school is a much newer building than all of the rest of the buildings in Sudbury. Can someone explain that to me?
Superintendent Wong, do you want to take that?
As I said, the school opened in 2004. There are 280,000 net square feet in the building, 23 cameras of new construction for a high school of that size. You would typically see 150 cameras in such a building, but here at Lincoln Sudbury, we are using cameras very targeted and specific. And as I said, we're replacing the current 26. The additional cameras are recommended based on our experience in the building, where we could use additional monitoring based on theft prevention or, again, to ensure personal safety. So I believe that the cameras we are adding are very targeted and appropriate for a building this size and for a campus this large. I will add that the plan was shared with both the police chief of Sudbury and the police chief of Lincoln, and it has their support.
Okay. Anyone else wish to be heard? Right here. Just a minute, Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Richard Flynn, 68 Stock Farm Road. Don't question the need. Don't question the amount of money. My question is this system compatible with the system under Article 19? So could either the Lincoln or Sudbury Police Departments access and integrate this system with the one that they proposed?
I'm going to ask Chief Mix to answer that.
We are using the same budget.
So as part of the plan when we went forward last time and last year, is we talked to Lincoln Sudbury and vetted out a couple of different vendors. So town-wide, we now have the same vendor. So some of the cost that Superintendent Wong is talking about is actually some infrastructure upgrade and equipment, so it is compatible, so that we can work on logistics of if there is an emergency situation that we could connect with. So we're doing a town-wide philosophy going forward. So, yes, that is the case, sir.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Flynn? Okay. Mr. Singer, right here. Can you get a mic to him, please?
Just a minute, please.
John Seeger, 26 Whispering Pine Road. And I have a question. Can you tell us how often you have felt the need for these cameras and new systems? How often do you have to rewind and look to see what happened and how serious was that need.
Okay, Superintendent Wong, can you address that question, please?
This is my third year here at Lincoln Sudbury, and when we do have occasion to review the film, we do usually check in with our police department chief, Nick, so he would like to answer the question for us.
So one thing that's very driving for me was I told you earlier that we investigated a homicide here. And unbeknownst to a lot of people, that was a very random homicide, and we did not have cameras in every area. But the suspect was actually in a bathroom right across the hallway here for 5 minutes waiting for a victim. That victim did not enter that bathroom. All right, we were able to pick the suspect up in a very limited camera walking through, but then we lost contact again. So a lot of our investigation identified things like that. So that would have been a very specific time that would have been unbelievably valuable for us. We were successful in that prosecution, but you know, that 5 minutes and everything in between, you know, LS is a great community, but it is, I think it's a proactive approach that hopefully kids and students, which typically act in a good fashion, take those cameras as being proactive. Some of the areas they're trying to address is exactly what Superintendent Wong said, addressing areas that are of concern. So hopefully it kind of drives them to stop the behavior, but it may drive them into another area where we need to add a camera again. But we're trying to think of it. But that's probably the most powerful example I can use as far as that goes.
Okay, anything else? Anybody else? Okay, let's take one more. Right back here. Greg, can you get her a mic, please?
Jennifer Pincus, 25 Blueberry Hill Lane. Unlike the other schools in town, the high school is an open campus. The doors don't have access cards. So I was all for this article until I heard that you were concerned about theft and that the cameras have a 30-day feed for going back and looking at something after it's happened. But I didn't understand with Chief Nix's response to how it relates to the rest of the system that we have in town for the other schools. Say something were to happen where the school could call the police and say, there's something happening here. Can the police then look at what's going on at the moment through these cameras, or are they really only just for looking at something that happened in the past?
Okay, so to maybe bring us to where we are currently, we might look at camera feeds maybe half a dozen times in a year. It might be to view the parking lot to identify maybe damage to property that happens on the parking lot. It might happen where personal safety has been alleged, and so we can view that. But a lot of times it is property theft that we're looking for. We do have a system in place, actually, with the support of Chief Nix, that allows us to tie the cameras into the software program so that they could look at this remotely. Our current cameras are actually not able to do that. When we upgrade the system, we will be able to tie it into that software program, and so we can flip the switch so that the police station can look at it remotely. We do view the film. This is not to be monitored at all times. This is something that we use on an as-needed basis.
Okay. Any further questions or comments? I see none. Let's proceed to a vote on this. The quantum of vote required for passage is majority. All those in favor of the motion under Article 20, please raise your cards. All those opposed? That does not pass unanimously, but it passes by well more than a majority. 21. Is school maintenance garage. Motion by Facilities Director Jim Kelly.
Move to indefinitely postpone.
Is there a second? There is. Mr. Kelly, for a brief presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Just a couple minutes just to explain this very important article. I regret to postpone it, but as you've heard throughout the last couple nights, a lot of capital articles, a lot of tax impact, and there are very, very important ones like the last two that we just talked about, and there is this important one as well. But there's also a capacity and an expectation to ask the residents to support every single project. This project can wait. And as you'll see in the next article, we actually have a temporary solution for the reason why this article came forward. Real quick, maintenance. I just want to point out this is a maintenance garage. Maintenance happens every single day, all the time, really 24/7. We don't come to town meeting to request money for maintenance. It's in the operating budget. Thank goodness. We do a lot of maintenance. This is a tool to provide the staff of the Sudbury Public Schools to be able to do a better job of maintenance, to be more efficient. I regret it because, as I said before, this is not a Jim Kelly article. This is a town article. I work closely with the schools and the staff. I can tell you a lot of stories, but I can wait until another time. This is a tool that would be helpful for the staff. But in all due respect, the staff agrees with me that this one will be postponed this year. So thank you very much.
Finance Committee on the motion to indefinitely postpone.
Finance Committee supports indefinite postponement.
Board of Selectmen.
Board of Selectmen supports postponement.
CIAC, you wish to comment on the motion to indefinitely postpone? Mr. Travers?
We support this.
Okay. Discussion. Anyone wish to be heard on the motion to indefinitely postpone Article 21? I see no one. This requires a majority vote to pass. All those in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed? That passes nearly unanimously, but by well more than a majority. Article 22, DPW Cold Storage Garage Addition. Motion by Mr. Kelly.
Move to raise and appropriate the sum of $220,000 for the purpose of constructing an addition on the existing DPW garage on town-owned land located at 275 Old Lancaster Road, including site development and all expenses connected therewith, including professional engineering and architectural services, and preparation of plans, specifications, and bidding documents, supervision of work and relocation. Said appropriation to be contingent upon the approval of a Proposition 2.5 capital expenditure exclusion in accordance with General Law Chapter 59, Section 21(c)(i)(5).
Does that receive a second? It does. Bill Place for the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Jim Kelly and I have been looking at this for the last 10 years. We've always known that storage in this town is a priority. Number of instances where he's come to me and said, Bill, can you store this? Can you store that? He said, Jim, geez, I don't have enough room. The first picture you see is a picture of our cold storage, I mean, our garage. That's 20,000 square feet. And this is typical of any time in the evening when we bring the trucks in and overnight. As you see, they're in there like sardines. Why don't we have enough storage? Anybody's been around long enough, like I have, remembers back in 1995, we came with a $2.2 million project for a new garage and administration building. It passed through the hall and unfortunately it failed at the ballot. 1997, we came back again. This time it's $3.4 million. Town Hall, the hall approved it. The ballot failed. Here we are in 2004. Now the price has now doubled. It's $4.5 million. It did pass the hall, and it did pass the ballot. Unfortunately, we only got two-thirds of the storage that we needed for the garage, and we got the admin building. What we're looking for now is just a plain cold storage building that's going to be 182 feet long, 35 feet wide, to house all the equipment that we have that's outside in the elements. And this slide here shows what happens in a snowstorm when the police department calls and says, hey, guy's got to get out there and start sanding these streets. Well, the first guy that shows up, he's going to get in the sander, he's going to get loaded up, he's going to get the sand and sends out. Unfortunately, he's going to have to move 5 to 7 vehicles out of the way to get to the sander. This is what shows out here. We have approximately 6-7 trucks outside and with trailers also. The structure will save many man hours and be more efficient in our operation. Some of the equipment that's stored outside is sanders that will not fit in there. The new roofing will protect and preserve our equipment. The shed roof covering is a simple, efficient, and not economical way to add protection to the vehicles. Now, this shed roof is just a steel column, steel beam, steel stringers with a metal roof. Pretty basic, not much to it. It will also preserve our rolling stock. We have made a significant investment in our equipment, and this, as you know from the, over the years, and an increase the life cycle of our rolling stock. You know, I'm saying 7 to 10 years in our stock, and right now, and if we can get something like this, I think we can get 10 to 15. It also reduces maintenance costs and money saved. Some of the things that are outside in the elements, these are our drainage structures, manholes, and catch basin frame of grates. This is a truck body that's stored outside. We have one truck that's got a hook system. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but what it does is it allows the tree department to switch over bodies when they're doing a chipping operation, a logging operation, sanding operation, or just dumping material. Other equipment that's outside, we have a $25,000 portable sanding plant that's out there next to the salt shed. Obviously, with the salt around, it's corroding and rusting away. The other picture is a set of forks. Anybody who's in the business of construction, you know, would go up there to look up, hook up forks like this with hydraulic, and the hoses are frozen. It's very difficult to hook them up, and they're dragging them back into the one garage until they thaw. Jim Kelly's been pretty much an expert on roofs, and he will take over and elaborate on this next few slides. Thank you.
Well, thanks. As I keep saying, the effort is shared by many. And Bill has been working with me for several years on this, and we thought this would be the right time to come. So a shed roof, I know these are kind of silly pictures, but honestly, when I saw that old farmer roof, it makes me think of Sudbury. I mean, it's a very old Yankee type of town. Look at this podium. And a shed roof is very simple. It's an economical way to do it. And providing the coverage that the DPW really could use, again, for their tools. These are the tools that they use every day to support the town. Basically, this is the back side. Most people probably don't see this, but this is where the shed roof would come off of the existing building. It would simply just, I don't know how to explain it, it would just come down further off the back of the building, and it's quite long, so there's a good opportunity to put a lot of equipment in there. And this slide is what you may have seen if there was an Article 21. This was what the school maintenance storage facility may have looked like, just a small building, perhaps maybe on the Nixon property. So, as I mentioned, and it's been asked before, and we hesitated throughout the budget season, but sure, you know what? Let's take some of that school equipment that we're talking about and push some of their stuff out, you know, make it work somehow. And that is what I hope we do, because we have to. We can't do both these projects this year. So this is really why Bill wants this, because he came to work last winter, and this is what he drove up to, and he said, I can't have my trucks looking like this. But seriously, it's a big project. The selectmen do support it. CIA supports it. The Finance Committee does not support the article. And I understand why. We've talked a lot about that in the last couple articles. But this is an efficient, economical solution to continue to protect our rolling stock and to continue to provide the tools that the men and women use in the town DPW facility and now as well as some of the public school staff. As you can see, the tax impact for this 1 year is about $33. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Finance Committee report. Mr. Davies.
The Finance Committee voted 7-1 not to recommend approval of Article 22. While the project has merits,
pull that mic a little closer to you, Mr. Davies.
While the project has merits, the Finance Committee found that in light of the overall pressure on residents' tax rates, this was not a priority at this time.
Board of Selectmen?
Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Capital Improvement Advisory Committee, Mr. Travers.
The Capital Improvement Advisory Committee approved this article 5-0. This project helps protect the DPW equipment, gives the DPW staff easier access to the equipment at critical times, and possibly lengthens the useful life of the equipment as located outside the DPW garage during the winter. We strongly support this article and hope that all of you do.
Thank you. Who wishes to be heard on Article 22? Does anybody wish to be heard? I see no one. The vote required for the passage of this article is a majority vote. All those in favor of the motion under Article 22, please raise your cards. All those opposed, that passes by nearly a unanimous vote, but by well more than the majority required. Article 23, underground fuel storage replacement. Motion by Mr. Kelly.
Move to raise and appropriate the sum of $250,000 for the purpose of constructing, reconstructing, or making extraordinary repairs to the underground fuel storage system at the DPW facility located at 275 Old Lancaster Road and all other appurtenances thereto and all expenses therewith, including the preparation of plans, specifications, and bidding. Said appropriation to be contingent upon the approval of a Proposition 2.5 capital expenditure exclusion in accordance with General Law, Chapter 59, Section 21C, I-1/2.
Does that receive a second? It does. Presentation by Mr. Place.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. As Jim stated, they were looking for $250,000 to remove the current underground fuel storage tank at the DPW and replace the new above-ground fuel storage tanks. Replacement of the antiquated technology of the fuel tracking system, also known as Gas Boy. The town relies on this fuel system for all its rolling stock, police safety vehicles, and demands 24/7 accessibility. This is a planned replacement for the older and unwarranted fuel system that will benefit the residents to ensure uninterrupted service and unplanned expenses. The fuel station is 21 years old. It's out of warranty. Maintenance and the inspection expenses is increasing. Last year, the town spent $9,000 just to do the wiring that was corroded to the Vita Root and the Gas Boy. Repairs and service vendors for the Gas Boy are increasing, difficult to locate, and parts become obsolete. Concerns postponing this work. Existing tanks are not currently leaking. However, the manufacturer will not guarantee the tanks. If the tanks fail, they will be shut down in a facility. It could be an environmental disaster. Police, fire depot would be comprised. We need fuel access 24/7 for our public safety personnel. These tanks provide fuel for the entire fleet of towns rolling stock, and it's paramount that the fuel availability and accessibility is reliable. This is not a matter of if, but when. Benefits of replacement. Eliminate the risk of failure, both environmentally and with continuity of operations. Costs will increase if we put it off, and the risk increases. Maintenance and inspection expenses will be less with above-ground facility. No loss of use of this new system will be finished before the old system is dismantled. The town should be proactive and not reactive. The cost of the new tanks will be less expensive than an environmental cleanup. These are just examples of the above-ground tank. It'll be probably located just outside the existing tanks that we have down there right now. The above ground fuel tank complies with all local, state, and federal guidelines, EPA and DEP approval. The fuel system reduces the risk of groundwater pollution, and it's a cost-effective installation. Again, the Board of Selectmen support this article. CIAC supports this article. Finance Committee supports this article. And there'll be a $37 one-time tax increase. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Finance Committee?
The Finance Committee voted 6-1 to recommend approval of Article 23. The dissenting vote argued that the existing apparatus continues to be in good working order and has not reached the end of its useful life.
Board of Selectmen?
Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Capital Improvement Advisory Committee.
CIAC supports this article.
Discussion. Anybody wish to be heard? Right here. Please stand. If you're able.
Thank you. Marie Rock, 26 Whispering Pine Road. I'm just wondering, with the new tank, do you have any sort of guarantee or warranty on how long that new tank is supposed to last?
I don't really know. I don't have an answer for that, but I know that we will be monitoring it, you know, daily in case there's any rust or anything that shows. DEP and EPA both approve of these above-ground tanks versus below-ground tanks because of the environmental contamination that could happen if there was a potential leak.
Anyone else wish to be heard? Gentleman right here, Mr. Baranowski. Right here.
John Baranowski, Belcher Drive. These tanks are fiberglass. They don't rust. It's a double fiberglass tank. It's perfectly fine. You got some wiring problems. You could fix it for $50. I don't think we should be spending this money on this project.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard? Right here, Mr. Gish. Can we get him a mic, please? Have we lost a few Boy Scouts?
Oh.
We're short-handed on Boy Scouts, so your patience is appreciated.
Jim Gish, 35 Rolling Lane. I'm just wondering if our police or fire department have any concerns about these above-ground tanks from a kind of a security position. You know, they're more visible, they're more accessible, they could be more prone to malicious or criminal behavior. Just wondering.
I don't see Chief Nix or Chief Miles here.
I noticed that.
Mr. Place, do you have an understanding of what the safety officials feel about this?
They will be secured. There will be bars around the perimeter. There will also be chain link fencing to prevent access to the tanks themselves. Other than that, I can't see any other safety issues with these tanks.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Right in the back here, sir. Now.
Kathy Jacob, 328 Old Lancaster Road. I noticed the proximity of the shed and the tanks or the underground pumps. Do they overlap for the new extension?
Do you understand the question?
No, they do not.
Okay, so they won't have to, you're not removing it because you're getting the extension. Okay.
He shook his head, but he meant no.
No.
Okay. Anyone else? Gentleman right here, do we have a Boy Scout up there? Okay. What I'd like you to do is, if there's anyone in the balcony that would like to speak to an article, please come down. There's plenty of room here now. I'll recognize you as soon as you get down here, okay? All right, anyone else downstairs wish to be heard on this article? Right here.
Martha Cole, 14 Churchill Street. I'm speaking from memory, but I do recall maybe when it was about in the 80s that salt from the old Lancaster Road salt storage got into the Raymond Road wells. And So that, you know, that was a long time ago, but I do recall that that happened. And I always have kept it in the back of my mind because I was a highway commissioner before that happened. And at that time, there was a lot of concern about coatings engineering was going on and other things were going on at the time. So anyway, the bottom line is that says that if these tanks underground leak, they can get into the Raymond Wells. And that terrifies me, and that is why I am voting for this article.
Thank you, Mrs. Coe. Sir, right behind you, if you could give the... Yeah, thank you.
Casey Boardman, 260 Pekin Road. I was just wondering what the existing end of life is on the underground tanks. Is it past it, or are we kind of...
We have had an environmental consultant we've been talking to, and he's at anything from 20 to 30 years, but he says after 20 years, it's a crapshoot after that. And we're at 21 years now.
Does that answer your question? Okay. Who else wishes to be heard on this article? I see. Okay, one more. Here you go, sir.
Steve Gabler, 28 Mossman. Has the option of contracting a commercial fuel distributor been explored for this service?
We did look at that at one point when the system went down. You'll have to understand that we are available 24/7 where the private contractors aren't open at night. This is very valuable for the police and fire especially. The cost per gallon, we just looked at that, and when we were paying, I think, over $2.10, I believe, we were paying $1.14 for gas. And for diesel, it was up to $2.60, I believe, and we were paying $1.40 for diesel. So there's a big difference in the price, and also, too, we're open 24/7 where the gas pumps are.
Thanks. Any other questions or comments about Article 23? I see none. I'm ready for a vote. The quantum required is a majority. All those in favor of the motion under Article 23, please raise your cards. All those opposed. That passes nearly unanimously and by well more than a majority. Article 24, walkway engineering, design, and construction. Motion by Mr. Woodard.
Move to raise and appropriate the sum of $100,000 to be expended under the direction of the Director of Public Works for the purpose of engineering, design, and construction of new walkways within the town, including the payment of all costs incidental or related thereto, said sum to be raised by taxation and contingent upon the approval of a Proposition 2.5 capital expenditure exclusion in accordance with General Laws, Chapter 59, Section 21C, I and a half.
Is there a second? Is there a second? There is. Presentation by Mr. Poyce.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. As Mr. Wood said, I'm here tonight to request the hall to appropriate $100,000 for the construction of new walkways within the town. For the past 12 years for this project have come from the Community Preservation Act. A lawsuit filed by 10 taxpayers in Norwell won a legal judgment against using Community Preservation Act funds for walkway construction. A lawsuit may not mean Sudbury cannot ever use CPA funds for walkway construction in the future. We decided to proceed cautiously this year and seek funds from alternative source. If this article passes, it also requires an affirmative vote as a ballot number 12 at the May 17th special town meeting election. The cost of this article will be a one-time payment of $14 on the average home. To date, we have constructed over 9 miles of walkways on Pekin Road, Concord Road, Willis Road, Dakin Road, Knobscot Road, Raymond Road, North Road, Old Framingham Road, Dudley Road, and Potomac Road. Construction costs range from $35 to $75 per foot, depending on construction obstacles, such as stone walls, retaining walls, fencing, landscaping, etc. The Planning Board just recently held a forum on walkways where residents presented a petition for walkways on the following roads: Goodman Hill Road, Dakin Road, Pantry Road, Maynard Road, Ames Road, and Willis Road. The challenge we face is obtaining easements for these walkways, as most of the roads submitted are older, narrow, and variable width roads with wetlands and grade considerations. Walkways not only provide recreation for walkways, joggers, walking, joggers, and biking, but provide safe passage for all pedestrian traffic, such as disabled, the elderly, and children walking to school. If this article passes, the planning board will decide which road will receive the next funding. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Finance Committee report. Mr. Davies.
The Finance Committee voted unanimously to recommend approval of Article 24.
Board of Selectmen, Chuck Woodard.
The Board of Selectmen supports this article.
Capital Improvement Advisory Committee, Mr. Travers. Thank you. Discussion. Who wants to be heard on this article? I see one person way in the back. Did we lose our... Oh, okay. On the Boy Scout. He's got to leave at 10:30. Okay. Fair enough. Thanks.
Greg Hamill, 16 Pine Street. I would like to know how many of those roads are on the 2009 police recommendation list. I think it was 2009. And how many of the roads that are on the police list are not on that list, please?
I don't know if Jody Cablock's here at the time. I'm not sure if it's on the list. Are they all on the list, Jody? You're on the walkway plan, yes.
Okay. Just a minute. I'm gonna manage the Boy Scouts' time here. So if we could come around here, check in with Mr. DePompei, and then you, sir, will be next, and then we'll get to you, okay? All right, very good. Right here, Mr. DePompei, right here. Ma'am, if you could give this gentleman the mic, he's going to be up next, right here.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Dan DePompei, 35 Haynes Road. It's kind of a series of questions, but they're all connected. How much, and really they're not to Mr. Place, I think they're probably more to the town manager and the town planner. How much money is currently in the sidewalk construction account, and can we spend that money since it probably came from the CPC? The second, I can stop there and then ask the next question or just run them all together.
Do you know the answer to that, Bill?
No, that's really not for Bill. That's really for town.
It's about $80,000 up from the last article that was approved last year.
And can we spend it since it came from the CPC?
It's already been approved.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And if we were to start building sidewalks immediately, do we have any sidewalks that meet our requirements to begin surveying and construction?
That'll depend on the sidewalk that's approved by the planning board, which one, the priority one that they'll choose out of this list.
Do we have any that are approved?
I'm sorry.
Can you say that one more time?
Do we have any sidewalks that are approved for construction?
By the planning board.
On the priority list.
For construction right now, no.
Okay, so we have no current use for the money.
Okay, next, right here.
Robert Began, 25 Pine Street. So Mr. DePompei actually just asked both questions that I was going to ask. And so when we discuss, and I'm not speaking for the Park and Rec Commission that I sit on or the CPC, but I would just say that it does not make sense to vote for the walkways, even though I support walkways, to put $180,000 into the bank right now when we do not have any walkway projects that have the community ready to go right now.
Okay, over here. Right over here, right in the middle. Just ask someone to pass it along.
Hi, Kim Bennett, 5 Hunter's Run. I totally approve the walkways. I would just like to recommend that priority be given to people who live within that 2-mile distance to their schools. People who live within that 2 miles are paying for bus fees, and are pretty much expected to walk or pay for fees or be driven to school. We have done that 2 mile walk many, many times to Nixon. Marlboro Road is deadly at that time. And this has come up very often on different conversations around, so I know that there's a strong outcry for this request for sidewalks to be for people who live in that 2 mile range from their nearest school.
Okay, anyone else? Anybody new? Right here. I think it's on. Just keep talking into it. Ms. Dretler, hold it right next to your chin.
It's on now. Janie Dretler, 286 Goodman's Hill Road. I know that Goodman's Hill has not been completed. I've been there for 12 years. I think more importantly, that the sidewalk needs to be reconstructed from 250 up to Concord Road. The sidewalk is falling apart. The curbs are gone. There are potholes all along that road. You can see 3 layers of asphalt all along the right side of the road. I've reported 2 giant potholes. That's in the road. The sidewalk itself is very dangerous. Walking my children to school, you know, I can feel the cars buzzing by me. So I totally agree. We need sidewalks for everybody who lives within 2 miles of the schools. But also, before you finish Goodman's Hill Road, I'd like to see that section of the sidewalk redone.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? There's a gentleman right here in the middle. Can you stand up, please?
Glenn Merrill Skoloff, 18 Allen Place. It doesn't seem like there's a coherent plan. These were brought by citizen petition, is that what I understand? And I'm also hearing, and for the first time, that there is some priority list. And I would wonder if it's been studied and this project has been prioritized, why aren't we proceeding through some sort of identified priorities? I'd like to hear more of a plan. I know that we're not doing long-term 5-year capital expenditure planning right now. We're piecemealing it. But even to hear why this road and not this sidewalk and not this sidewalk, I think would be useful to make the judgment.
Bill, do you want to speak to the walkway plan?
We've set up a system where the neighborhood group will get together and a point person will petition the abutters to see if they are willing to give easements for walkways along the road. They will submit that petition to the planning board. The planning board will prioritize which ones they feel are a go and which ones are not to go. What we find out is when people do say they will give easements, when we go out there and try to acquire them, it's been very difficult. They say yes one time, they sign a petition, but unfortunately put their name to that piece of paper to say that, hey, we're going to give us an easement for that walkway. It's not always there.
Mr. Warder, do you want to add to that?
I just wanted to follow up on some of the previous comments with a question, and that is we have 80,000, this would add 100, so we have 180,000 potentially in the bank to construct walkways. And my question to Mr. Place is, will we be able to spend something close to $180,000 in the next year on walkways that are on the priority list and other walkways? In other words, can the money be effectively used?
If you look at one of my slides, I took some of those roads and multiplied times $35 a foot. I think that's low. I think it's going to be more in the $65 to $75 range per foot, knowing these roads that I do. Even Goodman's Hill Road, that section from Cato Drive down to Route 20 is going to be $87,000. That could easily go up to $150,000. Parker Road, north, $98,000. Again, we can do approximately 2,000 feet a year, and then we do about 2,000 feet of maintenance. The maintenance money for these walkways comes out of my budget, about $30,000. Our priority right now is to finish up Hudson Road from Saxony to the town center, and that whole stretch of Hudson Road will be done. We will also be looking at Goodman Hill Road, that section too. We're in the walkway business, but we shouldn't be in the walkway, we should be more in the maintenance business. But I found over the years that we can do a better high quality walkway than contracting it out, and paying him over, you know, $40 an hour in prevailing wage to a laborer to sit there with a shovel with a cigarette in his hand. So again, to answer your question, Mr. Woodard, I would say yes, we could in 1 year. It all depends on which walkway we decide to choose.
Thank you.
Okay. If you would like to speak, can you get up and come down here, please? Because it's going to be more difficult for the Boy Scout to get to you than the other way around. Is there anyone over here who wishes to speak? Anyone here who wishes to speak? You've already spoken, Mr. DePompei. I think it's on.
Now it's on. Now it's on?
Yes.
Greg Hamill, 16 Pine Street. I'm still asking for information on what the priority list produced by the police department, I believe it was 2009, that set a priority on those roads that were within two miles, of schools and connecting playgrounds with schools, connecting, for example, Union Street down to the center, down to Route 20. The list was produced. The priorities were set. Several of the roads that are listed on the list that we've seen are on that list, but many are not. And I'd like to set a precedent for going back to that list that the police department has already authorized and already recommended as the priorities that we should set for putting in putting in sidewalks in Sudbury. Thank you.
Okay, does anyone else wish to be heard? I see no one else wishing to be heard. Mr. DePompei, you may speak again.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. This is a very confusing issue, as I think some of the questions have pointed out. I have an Article 44 that's specifically directed towards sidewalk construction and priorities for sidewalk construction. Interestingly enough, the selectmen last night voted not to support that article. But really what that article is all about, and even though Bill Place is up there in front, this Bill Place builds them, okay? But he builds what he's directed to build. As was indicated earlier, we currently have no sidewalks that meet the requirements that we have in our procedure to be built. So there's nothing on the priority list right now that's being built. I'm going to go to a question. Mr. Place, if you were to survey, let me back up. It's my understanding from our prior discussions that we have right-of-ways that are wider than the pavement on many of the roads, and some of those roads are on the priority list. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
So if we were to survey the roads, we might find out that there are, in fact, some roads where the people are requesting sidewalks where we may not need easements.
That's a statement and not a question.
Is that correct?
No. That's not how this works, Mr. DePompei. You're not going to interrogate Mr. Place. You've made your statement. Please give the mic to Mr. Colton Simon, please. Okay, Mr. Simon, Master Simon, can you come down here for a minute, please? I think we should all recognize this lone Boy Scout. For his tremendous hustle and hard work supporting the entire room and the process, we owe him our gratitude. Thank you very much, Mr. Simon. Give them to Mr. DePompei, because he's going to run around with the mics now. Okay. Does everybody have enough information to vote on this warrant article? Do we need anything else? Okay, there's one more gentleman right here. Do you want to speak, sir? Just keep talking. Just keep it at your mouth and keep talking.
Carl Bittner, 118 Peckham Road.
I'd like to speak in favor of this article. My impression of the process in town is that it's actually very well organized. I think Bill Place spoke to the challenge of getting easements. I can personally attest to this, having been a neighborhood coordinator on getting a section of sidewalk put in, and this is one of the ones identified on the priority list that was referred to, the 2009 list, and yet it was very much up to the neighborhood to finally get all the easements in place and agreed to. So I think the plan is there. There have been identified lots of high priority sidewalks, but without the actual approval of all of the landowners, property owners, the town can't move ahead. So I just wanted to say that I think there's a very thoughtful process, in my opinion, that the town has put in place and gone through, and I very much think that if Bill Place says that he's able to spend this money, we all know that we need sidewalks, and he can make use of this money, that I believe there's been a very thoughtful process in terms of determining which ones should be built.
Thank you. Okay, are we ready for a vote? Okay. All those in favor of the motion under Article 24, I'm sorry, this requires a majority vote. All those in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed? That passes by well more than a majority. I note that we have passed the 10:30 hour. I'll take a motion to adjourn until tomorrow evening at 7:30, same place. Is there a second? Is there a second? I'm sorry. Okay. A motion has been made to adjourn until tomorrow night. Is there a second? Okay. Is there someone that has a point of order? If you have a point of order, stand up, please. Okay. There's no point of order. There's a motion been made to adjourn to tomorrow night at 7:30. All those in favor, please raise your cards. All those opposed? Okay, see you tomorrow.